Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You saw what on the mountain? Glory and brilliant whiteness? Why didn't you tell us? You weren't supposed to? There's more? You saw Moses and Elijah? You mean the Moses that God buried in the wilderness? You mean the Elijah that went up to heaven in a whirlwind and a fiery chariot? You saw them? Slow down. Cloud and darkness? A voice from heaven? Yeah, it sounds like you're pretty foggy right now, too. You said what to him? You wanted to build tents for them? For those who are in heavenly glory? You're kidding, right? How did he respond to you? I bet he told you to be quiet and listen, didn't he? Man, I wish I could have seen that. Yeah, I guess I understand why you didn't tell anyone. We wouldn't have believed you anyway. There are, of course, many questions surrounding the transfiguration of our Lord, not the least of which is why Jesus commanded the three disciples that he purposefully took with him up the mountain that they were not allowed to speak to others concerning what they saw when they came down the mountain. We learn that fact from St. Matthew's account of the gospel, while from St. Luke in our text today we only hear the result of Jesus' command. St. Luke says they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. When I was a young boy, one of my favorite toys was a little red car that turned into a little red and green robot. It was, of course, a transformer. They're quite a bit nicer today. My sons are pretty incredible at how detailed they are. That toy was so much fun, though, because there was more to it than met the eye. There was always something underneath the surface that was yet to be discovered. As it was with that toy, so it was with Jesus. Things aren't always what they seem with him. He looked like a normal man. He looked just like his disciples and the other men of his day. He dressed like them. He talked like them. He ate like them. He slept like them. He even prayed to God like them. But things weren't as they seemed. Jesus commanded his disciples to keep silent about what they saw because it was not yet his time. And because the disciples themselves really didn't understand what they had seen and heard, they didn't know what they were yet to share. We always celebrate Transfiguration this day in the church year as the final Sunday of the Epiphany, which is the season of Revelation. And as you have heard, it is specifically the revelation of Jesus as the King of the Jews and the Savior of the nations, God in human flesh and blood to save his people from their sins. We entered into this season as the wise men came from the east and brought their gifts and fell down and worshiped at Jesus' manger. The very next Sunday, the day of Epiphany, after that day of Epiphany, we heard the voice of the Father from heaven as Jesus went into the Jordan River and was baptized. This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him. Now, today, on this mountain, Jesus' true identity is revealed again. Not for the sake of those around who see him go into the water, only for the sake of Peter, James, and John, as they see him transfigured before them. The appearance of his face was changed, the text says. But it was more than that. It wasn't temporary. He was transfigured. What was inside was put on the outside for a while. God was revealed in man. The appearance of his face was changed. His clothing became dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appeared with him in glory and spoke with him, as the text says, about his departure. But it's more poignant than that. It's about his exodus, the text says. That brings into your mind all kinds of things from the Old Testament. It's about his going away, his exodus, which he is about to accomplish in Jerusalem. This is a reference to his going away, to his being lifted up for all people to see, for his crucifixion and death. It is a reference to his resurrection from the dead, his victory over sin and death, and finally, his ascension back to his throne in heaven. And on this day, on this mountain, the voice of the Father again testified from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love. You listen to him." All of these things, the cloud, the glowing face, Moses and Elijah, the Exodus, the voice from the cloud, they remind us of another time and another mountain on which God descended to reveal his glory and his will for his people. On that mountain, Moses couldn't stand in the presence of God without being affected. His appearance was changed, but the inside didn't come out. He was reflecting glory that was on the outside in the Lord who had appeared to him. When he received from God what God was giving to him and went back down to the rest of the Israelites, they were terrified to look at him because his face was still dazzling white. He was still reflecting the glory of God in his flesh. He even had to wear a veil before them. But now the second and far greater Moses has come. He doesn't wear a veil over his face. He's veiled in human flesh and blood, like his people in every way, but without sin. For a moment on that mountain, he allowed his divinity to shine through his humanity. On that mountain, it was clear that things were not as they seemed down on the plain. He wasn't just an ordinary man. He was both perfect God and perfect man. He didn't go up that mountain to be reassured by his father or to get further instructions from the mothership about his mission. He went for the benefit of his disciples so that they could see another part of God's plan of salvation, so that they could see Moses and Elijah among the living, so that later on, when the time had fully come, they could understand and be able to tell others everything that they had seen and heard concerning this Jesus of Nazareth. Since the evangelists Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this event in their accounts of the gospel, and yet none of them were on the mountain with Jesus, it is clearly evident that Peter, James, and John didn't keep their mouths shut forever. They didn't always understand what God had done to them or in their presence. But when he revealed it to them, they finally did find their voices and open their mouths. And then they clearly confessed Jesus' divinity and told of his glory. We can only just begin to imagine what those disciples experienced on that mountain. It is so far above us, so hard for us to comprehend. It was so fantastic that day that Peter didn't even want to leave. He didn't want those who were with Jesus to leave either. He forgot all about the rest of the disciples down on the plain. He forgot about his mother-in-law, who had been recently healed from that fever. He forgot about everyone else. He wanted to stay there in glory. Their eyes were fixed on so much wonder and amazement that they were overcome. You could even say that they were intoxicated by the experience of it all. But after the voice from the cloud had spoken, the text tells us that Jesus was found alone. Then, in that moment, the disciples, in their wonder and amazement, couldn't do anything other than fix their eyes on Jesus. The glory of God was finally and only revealed in Jesus, just as God intended it to be. In the busyness of this life, it is easy for us to get distracted with all the things that are happening in the world around us. to focus on the many man-made wonders of this world and on all of our great accomplishments. We get wrapped up in those things that this world considers important, and we start to forget about the things of God. Of course, we do want our faith in Christ to be genuine and real, but how easily we are tricked by the devil into thinking that we must have some kind of mountaintop experience in order for that to happen. And if we do have an emotionally charged spiritual experience, it can't and doesn't last forever. But we cling to the feeling of it just as the disciples tried to do. And we are never satisfied with what God gives, so we start to focus our energy into seeking after another mountain, after another and even greater experience. And all of a sudden, we are focused on everything other than Jesus alone. And that's not how it's supposed to be. That's how the devil wants it to be. When St. Paul went and preached among the Corinthians, he said to them, "While I was with you, I desired to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Where the devil is at work, you may hear wonderful sounding things, but you will hear nothing of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if Jesus Christ and Him crucified isn't first, last, and only, then God's word is being ignored, because His word testifies to Him. And if His word is despised and ignored, we will be lost. Very soon we will see that His teaching conflicts with the teaching of the world. And we can't have that. We want everyone to like us. We don't want any bad press. So Jesus' teaching must be silenced or changed. Very soon our baptism gets set on a shelf and is no longer celebrated or remembered or lived. Very soon the Lord's Supper becomes a thing of contention, a place of false outward unity, or just an extra 15 minutes at the end of an already long service, rather than being a life-giving and faith-sustaining meal that gives Jesus' body and blood for forgiveness and life to those who believe His word. Very soon, church is just something we do if we like the preacher or the other members, or when there isn't something better to do during that time. And inevitably, in this line of thinking, the congregation becomes a business, focused on attracting and retaining customers and making a profit. But this is not how it should be. If Jesus Christ and Him crucified isn't the main thing in this congregation, in your life, then He is nothing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't be deceived by the devil, by the world, or by your own sinful nature. Don't look to your mountaintop experiences. Don't look inside of yourselves or to the wise spiritual people of this world for proof of living faith or eternal salvation. Your faith is a gift of God that He has given you in holy baptism and through the hearing of His word. Your salvation is not dependent upon walking up some mountain or having some emotional experience. It is not dependent upon your works or anything inside of you at all. It is dependent on Jesus Christ alone. Jesus alone has taken away your sins. Jesus alone intercedes for you before His Father. Jesus alone washes you with His blood. Jesus alone gives you His body and blood to eat and drink. Jesus alone rules and governs and sustains His bride, the church. Jesus alone is able to give you eternal rest and peace. Jesus knew that they couldn't stay on the mountain, even though His disciples certainly wanted to. They had to return again to the plain, for He had work to do. His glory was again veiled, and they went back down. Jesus went then faithfully to Jerusalem to suffer and die for the sins of the world. After He was raised from the dead, He commanded His disciples to go and tell the good news of the forgiveness of sins in his blood to the whole world. They didn't sit quietly then. They weren't in a stupor anymore. They didn't build tents and try to stay in some holy community. They proclaimed the truth with great emotion and boldness, even unto death. God used them and their inspired sermons and writings to testify about him to generations not yet born. He used them to testify to you. You have heard those sermons and their words. You have heard the inspired words of God just as he intended. He has called you to faith through those words, and by the Holy Spirit you have believed. Come then on this Transfiguration Sunday to God's holy mountain, to the place where God is revealed in human flesh and blood. Take him in your hand and on your lips for the forgiveness of your sins. Be strengthened to trust in Jesus alone as that great and glorious day of the Lord quickly approaches. And then after you have received this great gift and your faith has been strengthened as forgiven sinners, go out into the world and tell of the wonders of God that you have seen and heard. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.